Well, this morning when we look back to the gospel passage that we heard a moment ago in Mark chapter 4, we're actually picking up in the middle of a bunch of parables that Jesus is using in order to tell others or to teach his disciples and other people that he was gathering about the kingdom of God and God's presence. And in many ways, I just love the parables of Jesus because there are these little teaching devices that he uses to bring God's reality and God's kingdom to people in a way that they could understand it. Now, one of the things I love about him also is a definition that I heard just recently when I was reading this book, and it was by Eugene Peterson. I don't know if you've heard about him before, but Eugene Peterson is a pastor and an author. And if you ever read the more contemporary translation of the Bible called the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson is the one that translated that Bible. And when he writes about the parables of Jesus, he calls them narrative time bombs. Narrative time bombs. Because he said in many ways there are these small little stories or sentences that we would hear, and maybe we don't understand them right away, but they kind of get into our mind, into our souls, and then later in our day or later in our week or in our month, we'll get it, we'll understand it, and that bomb of Jesus goes off, and our eyes are opened. We can understand better God in our lives, and in some ways it actually pushes out the things in our lives that aren't the kingdom of God as well, the more that we understand them. Well, one of the things I think about Jesus' parables also that are so important is what they tell us about God or what we can do to use them to learn about God as well. When we look at these parables and you think about all the ways that Jesus has used them and what he tells in them, they really are ordinary, everyday things that Jesus is talking about. Seeds and soil and birds and talents and money and candles. These are things that Jesus uses in his parables that were everyday life with everyday people. When we hear that, I think what these parables tell us about God is that God cares about our ordinary lives. That God cares about creation, that God cares about nature, that God cares about animals, that God cares about us as humanity, and that is why Jesus uses ordinary things in his parables, because God is present and cares about ordinary lives. We also see that Jesus uses a lot of imagery and stories and themes and symbols in these parables. I think what that shows us also is that God is a God of creativity and a God of imagination. I don't know about you, but sometimes I kind of put God in a box where I think God is about what we do that's right and wrong, and that's all we can really think about. But the parables tell us that God has this amazing imagination and this amazing creativity that God uses to be in relationship with us. So it's a reminder that the God that we serve is one of imagination and creativity. But when we look at the parables this morning that Jesus is talking about, he connects it with the kingdom of God. What shall we compare the kingdom of God to? What is the kingdom of God? So Jesus is literally using these parables to teach the disciples and to teach others about God's kingdom, which when we kind of parse it down, is God's activity, God's presence in this world, the way that the world should look, but isn't quite there yet, but the way that it breaks in through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and the way that we're called to continue to build that kingdom. So it's here that Jesus is using these parables to teach the disciples about God's kingdom. And the first parable that he uses, he talks about somebody who went out and sowed seed and really does nothing with it. They sow them, and they said somehow, whether they're resting or they're at work, day or night, the seed grows and a harvest is brought about. I think what Jesus is saying here through this part of the parable is that the kingdom of God is rooted in God's grace. It's a grace that doesn't start with us, but it's a grace that comes to us at all times. The kingdom of God begins with God seeking us out, loving us as we are. And what Jesus was telling the disciples and those early followers is that God's grace was constantly at work in their lives. And because of it, God was constantly present in their lives. So the kingdom of God is rooted in God's grace, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. But then Jesus also talks about the mustard seed. And like the children said this morning and told us how wonderful it was for them to actually tell us about what a mustard seed could do, that small thing that could grow and become a large bush, a large shrub that honestly, if you kind of study mustard seeds a little bit, not only does it become large, but it keeps growing and kind of overtakes what whatever is around it. Jesus was telling the disciples and the followers that the kingdom of God is like those little mustard seeds. That God uses that which may seem as small or insignificant, and yet when it is used, when it is planted, it brings about God's kingdom and God's fullness, and it has significance and it has purpose. Jesus said that the birds would come into those shrubs and would make a home on the branches where they would find shelter and they would find shade. Something that was small and insignificant, and yet when it grew, had a great purpose. This is the kingdom of God that Jesus is talking about in these parables, one rooted in God's grace and one that starts small as a mustard seed, but grows with great purpose. I think that's so important, these two parables and its connection to the kingdom of God, for us to hear as we are as the church today. As I said in my welcome, one of the greatest joys that I have in my own life and this work with the Synod is to visit all the congregations, or as many as I can in the Synod. And since I've been doing this work since mid-January, I think I've been to 18 congregations that I have been in conversation with, or that I've led in preaching or teaching. And I've actually visited near 30 congregations that I've been present in physically. And one of the things that I have heard as I've talked to leaders, clergy, lay leaders, just members of our congregations, when they reflect on where they are, some of the same themes, even though people are hopeful and they want to see God's kingdom, some of the things that I hear over and over again is that we're tired. We're exhausted. We went through this global pandemic. We're less than we were before. Our resources aren't the same. There isn't as many people in our pews. Some of the same people are doing everything, and in many ways, we're exhausted. I also hear people talking about the grief that's in their lives. The grief of what the church used to be, the grief of not knowing what the church is going to be, the grief of wanting the church to be so great and to see so many things, and yet, again, here we are and we feel exhausted. Hopeful, but grieving and exhausted. And that's why I think it's so important for us to remember back to these little narrative time bombs that Jesus tells us in the parables and the meaning behind them. We go back to that man or that person who put the seeds on the ground, what we are told and what we are reminded of is that God's grace is constantly here with us no matter where we are. God's kingdom is always present in our lives, whether we're sleeping or awake, whether we're resting or we're working. In our times of exhaustion, God's grace, God's presence is here. In our times of grieving and mourning, God's love, God's grace, God's presence is here. And there's times where we're trying to figure out what the next step is to take, and we're not quite sure. God's grace is here. God is present where we are. But we're also reminded of the mustard seed. And in many times, I know about you, but when I think about the kingdom of God, I feel like I am the mustard seed. I look and I say, what is it that I can offer? What is it that I can do? I feel so small. I feel so insignificant when I look at the work of the church and what we're called to do. And yet, once again, I'm reminded that God has called each one of us to do the work of the kingdom. And none of us are insignificant. Each one of you matter in the kingdom of God. Each one of you, no matter where you are, what your history is, what you have experienced, or how long you've been part of this church, have work to do for the kingdom. And that work is never insignificant. Sometimes I think it's actually the small things, the mustard seed things that we do in our lives that will actually bring about the vitality and the growth of the church in the future. I was reminded of this when I was thinking back to some of my earlier days in ministry. My former life, I was a church planter, and I planted two congregations, and I remember doing the work of that first church plant. And in the early days, I was doing so many things, and yet I didn't see a lot happening. And I was convinced that the work was insignificant, that I was insignificant. And I remember talking to my church planting coach about this. And I remember saying to him, I'm doing these things, and yet I'm seeing nothing. And it feels so insignificant. And I remember him saying to me, Jason, never despise the days of small things. never despise the days of small things because you never know the impact that you're making with those small things. That coffee, that conversation I had with somebody in a coffee shop that was questioning their faith. An invite card that I gave to somebody inviting them to be part of our worship or something that we're doing in our church. Those early days where we were packing up bags for families that were in need, food that was connected to the school we were worshiping in. Those small things were not insignificant. And when I look back, it was the small things, the conversations, the invite, the small works of the kingdom that actually grew that church and furthered the kingdom of God. What I always encourage congregations in our synods, and especially you here at Faith in Arlington, is to continue to do the small work of their mustard seed that God has placed on your hearts. That even if you feel at times small and exhausted, the small things that you can do to bring about love in this place. The way that you continue to think about, the way that you want to welcome people as they walk through the doors of this church, new people, the way that they can be welcomed into this place, and how they can meet people in your congregation that can come alongside them. So they know that they are loved and valued. When you think about the one invite that you might be able to do every week to invite somebody to this congregation, we're not asking for 50, we're not asking for 100, just one person that you can think of that you can invite. Having done a lot of work in my past life and my current work with evangelism, one of the things that we know statistically is that when you look at communities, the majority of people, the higher percentage of people in our communities would actually come to church, but there was one thing missing. One thing kept them from coming to church. What do you think that one thing was? What's that? Connection or invitation. They simply were never invited to come to a church or to participate in a church. I want to encourage you to do that small mustard seed planting of simply invite one person to this worship, to a discipleship opportunity, to a fun event, somebody that you know is in need of God's love that could enter into this place. I also want to encourage you to continue the work of thinking through the building that I know you constantly are thinking about how this building can be utilized as a beacon of hope for the community that you do so well. Continue to think through the ways that you can use this place to invite people into these walls to find relationships, find connection, to find safety, to find love. Those are the small things, the small mustard seeds that get planted that will grow the kingdom of God. One of the things that I was reminded of as I read these parables this week, and I hope you feel it as well, is that I actually was excited. I was excited to think through these parables and what it means for the kingdom and what it means for us. To be reminded again that God's grace is constantly offered to us. That where we are in our journey, no matter where that is, God loves us. And that the kingdom work begins with Him, with God doing the work in us, and we get invited in to come alongside. I was excited about the mustard seed. And to think about the small things that each of us could do in our lives to plant those small things, those small initiatives, those small invites, those small conversations that might actually grow to the bush, to the tree, to the kingdom of God that has purpose and significance. This week, may these little narrative time bombs go with you. And may they explode in your life in a way that your eyes can be opened to the kingdom of God. That you can see and hear and feel God's grace for you. That you may answer the call to plant the small things of this life, the small things of the kingdom, and to never despise the days of small things. Because it's in those days that God truly will work, that God truly will act. God's kingdom will be made a reality here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.